Carol Green option.
All right, so we're on the Chaf Amud Aleph, second line from the top. We're in the middle of a tangential discussion that itself is located inside of the middle of a bigger discussion about the Machlokes Beisham Beiselel, about the Karbanos on Yom Tov. So in the second line, it says, Sahu Gavra, the Amar Lahu, there was a certain guy, told them, Rashi explains the context here is that let's say somebody is mitzava machmas misa, somebody is a shchiv mira, somebody is essentially assigning the distribution of his estate. And Amar Lahu, he says to them, Havule arba meya zuze leploni velinsiv brati. And then one of the instructions that he leaves in his will is he assigns 400 zuz to Ploni that he should marry my daughter. Now the Gemara is saying, Amar Rav Papa, this is similar to the earlier discussion about the person who pledged a korban, and the expectation is that this korban should be usable for something which it really is not usable for. And so how does that affect the pledge? Same thing over here. Person essentially gave 400 zuz to Ploni in his will, and then also it connects it to that if that guy marries my daughter. Rav Papa said, Arba meyaz shakil. The guy is entitled to collect the 400 zuz, but brate iboy nasiv, iboy lo nasiv. But as to the other clause that he marries the daughter, that it's not linked to that explicitly, and therefore it's not considered to be contingent upon that, and therefore it's not as if he can order that to happen, and so that's considered to be more of a request, and therefore if the guy wants to, it's up to him. If he doesn't want to, it doesn't affect his collecting the money. But the Gemara then clarifies, Taima di Amar Havalei Vilinsiv. That's only because he phrased it that way. It's only because he phrased it as, give him the money, Vilinsiv, and he should marry. Aval, in Aramaic, when you have a verb with a lamid, like Linsiv, like it says over here, it means that something should happen. Something should happen. Like Lezal and Linsiv and Leilaf and all of these kinds of things. Leimalei, it means something should happen. Aval, Gemara says, he amar linsiv v'havulei, but if he said it the other way around, if he says, this guy should marry my daughter, and he should be getting this. V'havulei, inasiv shakil v'ilo nasiv lo shakil. Then it's supposed to be interpreted as a tenai. It's supposed to be understood as, if the guy does marry my daughter, then he'll be collecting the money, but if not, than that. So it depends how it's being phrased here. That relates to what happened earlier. And we're going to see that we pick up on that again in the next piece. Yosef Mareimar, V'ko'amar lo'hashmaitza mishmeidin afshei. Now there's a two dots here, because this passage here, this next piece of the Gemara, Rashi clarifies, doesn't relate back only to this little bit here about the will. It relates more to the earlier discussion about the guy who pledges the korban, with the kind of understanding that it should count for a purpose that it shouldn't count for. So Yosef Mareima v'ko amar lo hashmaitza mishmeidin afshei. Mareimar, one of the Amoraim, was saying, was teaching this ruling, mishmeidin afshei. He just said that this is the halacha. Amar le Ravina le Mareimar. Ravina said to Mareimar when he heard about this, Atun, you guys, hachi masnisula. This is the way you guys teach this law, meaning just kind of categorically, as if it's your own ruling. Anan, but we, kidibamine Rish Lakish Mirab Yochanan Masninan La. But when we teach this law, we present it as Rish Lakish asked the question, and Rabbi Yochanan provided this as the answer. That was the way it appears here in Abu Gemara earlier on. Okay, so it's an issue of attribution, really. And then the Gemara often cares about these kinds of things. But that is the way the Gemara reads. It doesn't really add much content to the points. All right, we're back to now. We're out of that tangent, and we're back to the broader discussion of the Machlokas Beishan Beis Hillel and the Mishnah. If you remember what happens in the Mishnah, there's a Machlokas Beishan Beis Hillel about 2 points. 1 point is whether you're allowed to bring Olos on Yantif, and the other point is that when you're bringing a Shlamim on Yantif, whether you can do Smicha or not. That's the way the Mishnah presents the Machlokas. Then the Gemara has all kinds of variants, and we're going to see more of these in our Gemara. All kinds of variants about what kinds of shlamim are we talking about? What kinds of olas are we talking about? Is this issue of smicha pertinent specifically to the yantiv case or to the general case? And so, it's the kind of a thing where I suppose if you had a few charts, it would probably make it easier to navigate through the Gemara, both on the previous daf as well as on our daf. I don't know, I assume Art Scroll has charts also to make it easier to follow. But in any case, that's the overall context. And here in our Gemara, we're about to explore this kind of from a side direction. And in order to get what's going on in our next Gemara, Rashi gives you a couple of points of introduction. One of the points is that the psukim are explicit about smicha, that smicha is prescribed for olas and for shlamims that are shel rishus. An ola and a shlamim can come in at least two forms. One form is where you voluntarily choose to bring one. They come b'neder and adava. Another form is where it's mandated because of some circumstance or another. Something as simple as the fact that every yantif you're required, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, you're required to bring an ola and a shlamim. But also other circumstances might create a chiyuv to bring an ola and a shlamim. A woman has a baby and all kinds of things. So when the Chumash describes bringing the ola and bringing the shlamim when it's a rishus, then the pasuk says v'samach yadol. You have to lean on the animal. You have to lean on it. And Rashi in the Mishnah says you have to lean on it b'chol kocho. Right, Rashi says you have to lean on it b'chol kocho. And Rashi in the Mishnah says that the reason that Beis Shammai don't permit smicha on the korban is because on Yantif, you don't have permission to lean on the shlamim because it's what's called, Rashi says here, because it's the violation of the rule of Mishtamish b'baal lechayim. Okay, that's what Rashi explains in the Mishnah, is what the objection of Shammai is. I don't exactly envision this. Some of these animals can be pretty small, so I'm not exactly sure how you're going to lean b'chol kocho on these little animals and not squash them. But at least if it's big enough, so then I guess you could lean b'chol kocho on the animal. And that's what with respect to a nedava. Now, what about with respect to karbanos chova? An ola or a shlamim shel chova, do they require smicha at all? Right, that's part of the question here, is do they require even smicha at all? It's never explicit in the psukim, and now that's how we start our discussion. The Gemara has a quotes of Braisa. Tani Tana Kameder Rabbi Yitzchak Baraba. Pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Tes with respect to the Korbanos Hamiluim, Vayakreves Haola Vayaseha Kamishpat, that Aaron brought the Korban Ola. It's a little bit vague about which Korban Ola we're talking about. Rashi and Tosfos have somewhat of a dispute here. Rashi gives you the easiest pshat with respect to the flow of the Gemara. Tosfos tell you what they think based on the psukim it's going on, but Tosfos admit that they run into a lot of problems here in their pshat. But in any case, Vayakreves Ola Vayaseha Kamishpat, that Aaron brought the Korban Ola, and he did it Kamishpat. So the Gemara is Dorish on this Kamishpat Ola Sanadava. What does it mean, Kamishpat? It means he did it the way you would bring Olas generally, namely Olas Nedavas. Li made, and the drasha that's being made here is al olas chova sheteuna smicha. That this tells me the rule that a korban olas chova teuna smicha. You need to do smicha on a korban olas chova. That's the drasha. Amar lei, the amar lachmani. So this is now the Rabbi Yitzchak Baraba is asking the other Amora who's quoting the Braisa, the Amar Lachmani Beis Shammai, that this must be the analysis of the drasha that's being made by Beis Shammai. Delo gamri shal mechova mishal meinadava. Beis Shammai, who, and Rashi clarifies what this means here, that in the Mishnah holds that Shalmei Chova have a different status from Shalmei Nedava, namely what way? Namely that that, for example, when you bring the korban, Beishamai, this is Beishamai who hold that when you bring the korban, Ola, you don't, when you bring the korban shlamim, you don't do smicha on it. Why not? Well, because it's a shalmei chova. That's the only permission that you have to bring the shlamim on yantiv anyway, according to Beishamai. So you see that they don't require for a korban shlamim smicha on yantiv. You see that they don't say that you have to follow all of the rules of the Shalmei Nedava to Shalmei Chova, and therefore that's their overall orientation, is that you can't automatically learn details of the Korban Shalmei Chova from a Shalmei Nedava. And so if that's the case, if you have a known Olas Nedava rule, then the Olas Chova can't be derived from it automatically, and therefore you would require a Pasuk, like we have here, in order to establish the rule that you need smicha on an Olas Chova. So the logic is that we're given a pasuk to tell me the rule of smicha on the Olas Nedava, on the Olas Chova, and the Gemara here is assuming that that must only be required for Beis Shammai, because according to Beis Hill, there's no distinction between the Shalmei Nedava and Shalmei Chova. And presumably that would then mean that Olas Chova, Olas Nedava, in other words, Chova from Nedava, you could, according to Beis Hill, it seems like you make the same, you carry across the same rules. Beis Hillel, given the Gamri Shalmei Chova Mishalmei Nedava, Olas Chova Nami Loti Boikra. The Gamri Me Olas Nedava. The Gemara explains here that it sounds like Beis Hillel would not have required such a pasuk specifically to say Vayaaseha Kamishpat in order to present the rule that Olas Chovas needs Micha also. Now you realize that the way it's being presented here at this point is that they're interpreting that Beis Shammai don't require any smicha for any Shalmei Nedava, for any Shalmei Chova. Any Shalmei Chova requires. It's not about Yom Tov specifically. It's about the way it's presented over here is that you just lo gamri Shalmei Chova me Shalmei Nedava. Rashi has a little bit of a funny thing. He writes a little line over here is that, so Rashi kind of reads that this has something to do with the fact that it's not Doche Yom Tov. Rabbi Akiva Eger on the side just points this out. I don't exactly understand. That's not the logic of what's happening here in the Gemara. This Gemara was kind of saying that Beis Shammai would not have required any smicha under any circumstances for a Shalmei Chova. But in any case, the Gemara anyway doesn't accept this whole argument. It says, "Umimayde Beis Hillel Shalmei Chova Mishalmei Nedava Gamri." How do you know that the reason that Beis Hillel in the Mishnah allow you to do smicha on the Korban Shlamim when you bring it on Yantif is because they learn that just like a shlamim of rishus needs smicha, shlamim of chova needs smicha, maybe that's not why how they came to that ruling. Maybe they got their ruling from Dilma me olas chova gamri. Maybe they knew that shalmei chova needs because they derived it from olas chova. And if that's the way it goes, then they better have a source that olas chova needs smicha too. Dilma me olas chova gamri ve olas chova gufa baikra. And the Olas Chova, meaning, how do you know when you bring a korban Ola as a Chova, that you need to do smicha on it? How do you know that? It must have a source. And maybe that's the point. That's what this pasuk, Vayaseha Kamishpat. So Vayaseha Kamishpat in our Gemara, that's maybe the source of the din that even Beis Hillel requires. So at this point, the Gemara is saying, I don't know if it's obvious that Beis Hillel would not have required this pasuk. Maybe they need this pasuk because maybe everybody agrees to the principle, lo gamrinan chova meinadava. Maybe you have no right to carry over any of the rules that you know about only from the dava to apply them to a korban chova also. And that's not what Beis Hillel was trying to do. And maybe Beis Hillel didn't do it that way. They were learning the smicha on Shalmei Chova from smicha of Olas Chova. Okay, but then if that's the way they're learning it, then the Gemara says, then you need a pasuk for that. And that's what you have. So then that's what the Gemara, at least at this point, is suggesting. The Gemara says, well, hang on a second. Maishnar me Shalmei Nedava de lo gamri. Well, then the Gemara says, hold on a second. Why would you feel that this is all very kind of a subtle discussion about the principles of making drashos on kachim. There's, okay, it's kind of a subtle study here, but the Gemara is trying to work this through as if they're operating with operating principles of how drushas work when you're making, when you're learning with drushas on kachim. Gemara says, hold on, Maishna meishalme nadava delo gamri. What would stop them from learning a binyan av from what's known about shalmei nedava to apply that to shalmei chova? Why wouldn't you learn? Because shekein mitsuyin. Because maybe you can't learn chova from nedava because nedava, yeah, people bring nedavas every day all the time if they want, but chovas are rare. Shekein mitsuyin. So that's a consideration that maybe stands in your way of learning a binyan av from nedava to chova. But if that's the case, so then the Gemara says, me'olas chova na'ami lo gamri. So then you really wouldn't be able to learn shalmei chova from olas chova either, because there's a good argument to block that too. Namely what? Shekein kalil. And ola, all of it's on the mizbeach. So, and the shlamim, is some of it goes on the mizbeach, some of it is given to the kohanim, some of it the bialim meat, and so it has all, it's fundamentally different rules, and therefore maybe that would be a block to learn the shlamim from the ola. The Gemara says, well, that's true, but on the other hand, you have to then put it all together. And the Gemara says you have to say that the drasha of Shalmei Chova has to derive from Mibeinaya, from both of those in what way? And Rashi explains, namely at Tzad HaShava, that you have to have two sources in order to establish the rule of the unknown case of the Shalmei Chova. Namely what? You know the rule is Shalmei Nedava needs Smicha. You know the rule that Olas Chova needs Smicha. In terms of the four possibilities of Ola, Shlamim, Nedava, and Chova, the only one unknown is the Shalmei Chova, and that is the only one unknown. You can get that from the fact, you know, that all the other boxes have smicha, and therefore this is the one known. We learn it as the Tzad HaShava. And Rashi just clarifies here, what's the Tzad HaShava? Presumably, any korban, which is a korban yachid, whether it's nedava or chova, it requires smicha, and therefore the shalmei chova would as well. So therefore, in sum, what we're getting is that this pasuk of Vayaseh HaKamishpa to establish smicha for an olas chova actually is required even for Beis Hillel, not only for Beis Shammai. Then the Gemara says, hold on a second. Let's review this again. Let's back this up. The Savri Beis Shammai Shalmei Chova Lobo Smicha? Wait a second. You mean the way we're saying at this point is that there's a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel about whether Shalmei Chova needs Smicha altogether? How can that be? The Hatanya, but we have a Brais Amar Rebbe Yossi Lo Nechlogu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Ala Smicha Atzma Shetzarich. There's a brisa that says, but that isn't how it goes. Beis Shammai agree that you need smicha on the korban, on the shlamim. Al manechlik wal tekaf l'smicha shchita. They have a different machlokas. They have a machlokas about the requirement of smicha on a korban. See, how does it go? Normally, the way it goes is that you go, you base a migdash, you have your korban, you lean on the korban, you do smicha on the korban, and then you hand it over to the kohen, and the kohen does the shchita. Right, that's the normal operation, But what if, let's say, for some reason, you were prevented from doing the smicha right away? You had to do smicha, I don't know, earlier on, before you went into the Beis HaMikdash with the behemah or something. So that's a whole question. Do you need tekaf l'smicha shchita? Do you need to have the smicha happen immediately before doing the shchita? Or can the smicha just be done at some earlier point? It's just a mitzvah to take care of it sometime before you do the shichah. That's a machlokas. According to Rabbi Yossi, that is the machlokas, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. How does that play out? Well, because like this, Rashi explains, well, look, if I'm yantif, I know I have to bring my korban shlamim. So Beis Shammai say, so then do the smicha yesterday. Do the smicha before yantif starts. And that way you'll take care of your smicha obligation. It doesn't involve any chilul yantif of leaning on the behema. And so then you can bring the korban without any hesitation. That's what it means in the Mishnah. Don't do the smicha on yantif, because you do the smicha beforehand. And Beis Hillel presumably insists that you do the smicha on yantif, because they say, no, that won't count, because you need tkaf l'smicha shchita. They want you to do it properly, immediately before the shchita. And therefore, that's what they're trying to say. In other words, everybody agrees that you need smicha. So it's not a question about whether there's smicha. There's a question is only whether the smicha has to happen right before the shechita. It's a detailed question. So that's what the Gemara is challenging. It says this whole analysis we just presented seems to be assuming the wrong thing. That's why the Gemara says, it says, Rabbi Yossi, the Tana says, Lo nechlu beishama b'yisrael ala smicha atzma shetzarich, al ma nechluku ala tekaf l'smicha shchita, shebeishama yomrim eino tzarich, abil ishil amrim tzarich. And that's why b'yisrael will tell you to do it on yantif, beishama yisrael do it before yantif. The Gemara says, well, that's true. If that's what you hold is the machlokas, then everything that we said doesn't work. But who the yomriki hai Tana? No, but you realize there's another Tana that presents the machlokas b'sham beis hillel totally differently. Not the way Rabbi Yossi the Tana does. Desani Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda is a different Tana. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda said, no, that's not true. Lo nechlokas b'sham beis hillel al tekaf l'smicha shchita shetzarich. No. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not the machlokas. B'sham beis hillel agree that when smicha is required, it's required and it needs to be done immediately before. Al ma nechlokas al hasmicha atzma. The machlokas b'sham beis hillel is about whether there's any need for smicha on the shalmei chova, on the shalmei chova. Shebeisham ayomrim eino tzarich, beis hillel amrim tzarich. So there you go. An explicit statement among the Tanoim. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda characterizes the machlokas b'sham beis hillel about whether smicha is required or not. And that's why that whole previous analysis, you know, about who needs the drasha of kamishpat, would actually make sense. Because it's working with the assumptions that are being presented right now, namely that Beis Shammai don't require smicha altogether on the korban shalmei chagiga. All right, two dots. Tan Rabbanan, ma'aseh b'hillel hazakei. This is a braisa that actually is kind of historically pretty interesting here. Tan Rabbanan, ma'aseh b'hillel hazakei. And once upon a time, Hillel hazakei, and Hillel himself, and this was happening, you know, Hillel lived during the Beis HaMikdash time. So this machlokas b'shayim beis Hillel in the Mishnah was not really a theoretical machlokas like when we talk about it, when the Amoraim talk about it, but when Hillel and Shammai themselves were talking about it, it was actually affecting what they were doing in the Beis HaMikdash. So it says, ma'aseh b'Hillel hazakein. Once upon a time, Hillel, hevi olasa liyazara. You have to imagine that this must have happened a lot, because this would have happened every time, every yontif. But in any case, Hillel once brought his carbon ola liyazara. You remember that in the Mishnah it says that Shammai, the base Shammai, hold you can't bring a carbon olas re'iya on yantif. So shehevi olas o liyazara lismocha leha biyantif. He was going to bring his ola, and he was going to bring it, and he was also going to tzmicha on it. And chavru olav talmidei Shammai. And the base of Migdash happened to have been a contingent of Shammai niks and Tamidim of Shammai Hazakein. And they hold that you're not allowed to do this. Amru lo, ma tiva shel behema zu? And they asked him, what are you doing with this behema? Now, of course, if he gave the answer that it was an ola, so then that would have offended them, because they say you can't bring this korban. If he said shlamim, so then even Shammai in the Mishnah allows you to bring korban shalmei chagiga. They just don't want you to do the smicha, for one thing. And it's the ola that they object to. Because the shlamim, at least you can eat on yantif. It's the ola, you can't eat anything on yantif. So, amr lehem, so he lies. Amr lehem nekevahi. Well, you know, this is a nekeva. Nekeva automatically is a catchword. It means korban shlamim. Because olas have to be zachars, and shlamim can be either. So the Gemara says, it's a nekeva. Olazivche shlamim havei siha. And I brought it as a korban shlamim for my shalmei chagiga. And in order to kind of show them that it's true, kishkesh lehem biznava, and he flapped the tail of the animal as if that was some kind of a behavior that nekevas are likely to do on their own, and therefore to kind of fool them into being persuaded that this is a nekeva, and they didn't bother to probe any further and to check, and they left them alone. V'halchu lehem, they left them alone. V'yoso hayom. That day, Gavra Yadam Shal Beis Shammai Al Beis Hillel. That day, it looked like the tide was turning in favor of Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel. Hillel himself was kind of put in his place. And Ubikshu L'Kvoa Halacha Kemosan. And somehow or other, they decided to have an emergency meeting of the Sanhedrin in order to confirm that to be the Psak. However, Hayashem Zakein Echad Mitalmidei Shammai HaZakein. But present there, in the Beis HaMikdash at the time, was a Zakein Echad, one older Talmud of Shammai HaZakein, Bava ben Buta Shmo, Shehaya Yodeya, Shehalacha Kebeis Hillel. I have no way to interpret what that line means. I don't know what it means. Somehow, he knew that the halacha was according to Hillel and Beis Hillel. Okay.
Like this is like with all the arguments we have today with different people. It's the same thing back then. You know?
Well, yes, but what's to me just hard to interpret about this line is that I don't understand how the halacha was known to him in some way other than the ordinary system of having the people vote on the halacha and decide on their own what the halacha is. What kind of outside source of information did he have that he could say, well, I know the halacha is Kaveis Hillel? This was not at the time when when the whole world was following Beis Hillel, where there was a bas kol to say halacha. This was when things were still in flux. So it's just, this is a very significant statement in terms of how halacha was working at that time. I just don't know what it's saying about the process. But it seems to be very significant. Anyway, so what happens was, and he takes action, this Bava ben Buta, and Vishalach Vehevi called Tzon Keder Sheb Yerushalayim, and he brings a lot of sheep from Yerushalayim, Vehamidan Beazara, and he brings them into the Azara, Veyamar, and he announces to anybody who's interested, call me Sherotzel Ismoch, Yavova Yismoch. Anybody who wants to come and bring their Karbanas Hayantif, come and bring. And you can bring your olas, and you can do smicha on the shlamims, and you can do your smicha on the olos. Yavava Yismach. This must have been a pretty dramatic event. Ve'yosu hayom gavra yadan shel beis hillel v'kavu halacha kemosan. And at that time, what actually had happened was that there was kind of a more formal confirmation that the Psach is going to follow Beis Hillel and the Beis HaMikdash at that point. And nobody from that point on challenged the policy. Okay, pretty significant thing was going on at that time. So that became the Psach and the Beis HaMikdash, that they were going to bring the Karbanas and do Smicha. Olas as well. There was apparently another event when one of the Talmidei Beis Hillel, even though we were told that there was never anybody to challenge it, but apparently sometimes there were some people to challenge it. Shuv Masav Talmidei, Chami Talmidei Beis Hillel, Shehevi Yolasoli Azar L'Smoch Aleha. Okay, one time and some other time, a Talmid of Beis Hillel brings his korban to the Azar. You must have imagined it was everybody. But I don't know. Is this seemed to have been still not so so ubiquitous? And he brings his korban to Beis Hamikdash. He brings his ola, and he wants to do smicha. Mitzvah Talmid Echamit Talmidim Beis Shammai. Now it's no longer a gang of Talmidim of Beis Shammai, but it's one guy. He Talmidim Beis Shammai. Amar lo, mazu smicha. He says to him, well, "What are you doing, smicha?" Amar lo. So this guy says back to him, "Mazu shtika." He says, "What are you doing? Shutting up?" Okay, that's the way they talk to each other. And Shasko ben Azifa v'halachlo. Okay, so the guy was shut down by this, and he went away. Amar Abaye. Abaye, in reflecting upon this story many years later, says Hilkach. Well, one lesson that you see from the story is Haitzuvah Merabanan the Amar Lechavre Milsa. If you have a Tzuvah Merabanan, a young rabbi who's being challenged by somebody, by his friend, the Amr Lechavre Milsa, and his friend is challenging him, Lo Lahadar Le Milsa Tfei Mimai the Amr Lechavre. Don't react back to him, don't overreact back to him when you say something. Just give him back to him to the same measure that he gave you. Di Amr Le, because in the story, the Shamayinik says to him, Mazu Smicha, and the retort goes, V'kamahadar Le Mazu Shtika. Okay, I guess you had to be there to understand what what this was saying. Anyway, I guess it's a kind of a, just trying to say, don't overreact. All right, two dots. Tanya, there's a brisa. The brisa says, Amar lehem beis hillel beis shammai. All right, so now we're going to have beis shammai u beis hillel in the Mishnah. You know, it was a machlokas about the karbanas ha-shlamim. No, the karbanas ha-ola, and the smicha on the shlamim. It's somewhat vague. Which korbanos are we talking about? Are we talking about you can bring korbanos shlamim that are even nedavos on yontif now? On yontif, can you bring in the nedavos or only the shalmei chov of like the shalmei chagiga? And this came up last week, right? You had the whole discussion about this, and it has to do with why not to bring these korbanos. Well, it's coming up again. So we're going to see here two views about whether Beis Hillel are permitting you to bring your shalmei nedavos also, or only your shalmei chovas, and the olas. Maybe even the olas and nedavos as well as the olas chovas also. So let's take a look. Braisa says, Tani amru lahem Beis Hillel lebeis Shammai. Beis Hillel is a braisa that describes some more of the background of the debate. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel say to Beis Shammai, Ma b'makom she'asu lehedyot mutar legavoah. How could you insist that you're not allowed to bring olas chovas on yontif? Is pretty much what he's asking. How can you insist on that? You can't bring your olas for eon yontif. Look, I mean, how does that make sense? Ma b'makom she'asu lehedyot mutar legavoah. He says to him, look, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do any malacha to feed people. Mutar legavoah, but you can do malacha to bring your korbanos hayom. You can do your avoda to bring your korbanos on Shabbos. So you see, that's the way, that's the attitude, is that the activities in the Mikdash legavoah are permitted, even where you can't do malacha for people to eat. But then, of course, makom shem mutar lehedyot, but on yontif, where you're allowed to cook for people. Ain't no din? Isn't it obvious? Shem mutar legavoah? Isn't that reasonable? Isn't that argument, isn't that a good analysis that you should be able to do mutar legavoah, that you should be able to bring your korbanos, even your olas, legavoah? Amru lahem beis shammai. Beis shammai say, nedarim unedavos yochichu. They say, well, it sounds like a good argument, but you do realize that you have to admit on your own, you have to concede that that argument fails. Because if you follow that argument to its logical conclusion, you're going to get to an absurd conclusion. You would also then have to admit that if you're right, you should be allowed to bring any korban you want to, any korban legavoah you want to, and you know that's not true, because you know you don't permit nedarim unedavos, only chovas on yontif. Amr lehem beis shammai nedarim unedavos yofichu shemutar lehedyot ve'asur legavoah. Nedarim unedavos, where even though it's yontif, you're not allowing people to bring those korbanos. Now this is, of course, on the assumption that you're not allowed to bring nedarim unedavos on yontif. So if that's the assumption, if that's the policy, so then this argument, then this is the counterattack. Amr lahem beis hillel, but beis hillel say, yeah, but that's not fair, because malin nedarim unedavos she'ein kavua lahem zman. Yeah, but that's not fair, because nedarim unedavos, I just don't let you bring them on yontif, because those you didn't have to bring today, you can bring them anytime you want. But if you stick only to the category of korbanos that are tied to today, so then the kal v'chomer stands. Tomar biolas re'iyah shekavua lazman. Amr lahem beis shammai. Beis shammai say, back to Beis Hillel, oh, come on, you know yourself that you don't have to bring the korban today. Avzil ein kavua lazman. The korban olas re'iyah, you can pretend that it has to be brought today, but you know it's not true, because you really have a week of makeup time to bring your ola. The way the Chumash writes it is that shalosh regalim, you have, it says gimel mitzvahs nitzav Yisrael bi'aliyasan le'mikdash. It says there were three mitzvos bi'aliyasan le'regel. There are three mitzvahs that they have to do when they go le'regel. They have to show up in the Beis HaMikdash, and they have to bring a korban ola, olas re'iyah, and they have to bring korban shlamim, shalmei chagiga. So, this is beregel. So, if the Chumash is saying you have to do it, so how does Beis Shammai think that you cannot be allowed to do it? If that's what the Chumash is describing, so the answer is because the Chumash gives you a week of time to make. You don't have to do it only on day one. So you could actually, there's always a chol hamoed or a post-moed, post-yantif chol gamur, where you could bring your korban on the case of Shavuos. So Beis Shammai, you're saying that, look, the Torah insists that this be brought during this week at some time. It doesn't have to be brought on yantif, and therefore Don't pretend that this is called Chov HaKavua Lozman. This nan, Mishalo Chag B'Yom Tav Rishon, like it says in the Mishnah, that if you didn't bring your Korban Chagiga B'Yom Tav Rishon on the first day, and this is even Beis Hillel talking, because according to Beis, everybody agrees the Chagiga, the Shalmi Chagiga, you bring even on Yom Tov. But this is saying that if you didn't bring your Chagiga on day one, so you have the whole week. Chogeg v'holech kol ha-regel kulo v'yom tov achron shel chag. And even if it's Sukkos, even Shmini Atzeres. Amru lahem Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel said back to Beis Shammai, well, that's true that you have a whole week to bring it, but that doesn't take away from the fact that it's a kavua lo zman, because afzu kavua lo zman disnan over ha-regel v'lo chag enu chay b'yach b'yuso. Because, okay, after that week is up, it's too late. Okay, well, what did they respond? The argument was the thinking is, it's kavua lozman. It's not like Nedarim HaNedavos, which you could bring at any time. Beis Shammai say, well, the Olas Re'iyah is also not kavua lozman. You don't have to bring it today. Bring it later. And Beis Hillel say, yes, I could bring it later, but I still have to bring it within the week. And that's enough to say, it's called Kavua Lozman, enough to say that I should be permitted to bring it on Yom Tov itself. A little bit of a weak argument. The way Rashi makes it seem as if, Yesh Lachush, Shema Yifsha. Since it still only has a 1 week time frame, so maybe I should encourage him to bring it first opportunity, so that he shouldn't lose the chance, and if he doesn't bring it over the next course of the next week. Okay, it sounds interesting. Like we're arguing about whether or not to make a gzeira about bringing it or not. Like as if fundamentally the Kal V'Chomer should have permitted it automatically. The question is by policy whether we should have encouraged him or not, or discouraged him from bringing the carbon on the first day. It's a little bit garbled exactly. What is the pure logic of what's being argued over here? Are we talking about the din d'oraisa? Are we talking about a din d'rabbanan? So anyway, the Gemara says that this was happening among Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, this kind of back and forth argument about whether you could prove from logic, from the Kal V'Chomer, whether or not you should be permitted to bring the Korban Olas Re'iyah on Yom Tov itself. That Beis Shammai don't permit it, Beis Hillel permit it, and then they had this question whether the Kal V'Chomer should have made it obvious which way to go. And then it turns into a question about whether we treat the Olas Re'iyah as if it's Kavua Lo Zman in a loose sense of that expression.
That's the old balls, because if you give an Olas Re'iyah for that day, what would you think automatically you have to go to the next, to push it off Avraham Arago? The Torah saying bring Olas Re'iyah. So even that's what Beis Hillel would say.
Stop yeah, bringing, so Beis Hillel would say,
bring it after Shavuos, even though you can. It's still not the Chag, even though you're Yotze, still.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. If the Torah says, bring Olas Re'iyah.
Right, but they don't say it that way. They don't talk like that. They're trying to make it as a Kal V'Chomer from Shabbos. Right, it's a little funny. It's like they're beating around the bush. If it's really about what you're describing, then they should have just said, on Shavuos, the only time you have is Yom Tov, if not for the Tashlumin question.
You have Tashlumin, afterwards. Why would they give you
a Tashlumin? Why would you need the Tashlumin? Right. But they don't say it that way. They don't present that nature of the Machlokas. Okay, so it's like as if that's not enough. They're trying to prove it from logic rather than from the intent of the Pasuk in terms of that mitzvah. Okay. Look, this is not the only sugya this comes up. This is a sugya that exists in Chagiga, and some of it was presented earlier, and this is not the full discussion. But yeah, it's still a little bit mysterious. So the Gemara says, okay, well, fine. So at this point, the Beis Shammai attack back with a different direction. Amar Lahem Beis Shammai. They say, okay, but wait a second. We have another reason why you can't bring a korban olas re'iyah on Yom Tov. Amar lahem Beis Shammai v'halo kvar ne'emar lachem v'lo l'gavoa. Pasuk says you're allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov if it's hu levado yayasa lachem. It's only if it's for your own food needs, and therefore you can't make a kal v'chomer. Ah, well, if you can eat it, so of course the mizbeah. No, the pasuk only permitted you with a miut of lachem v'lo l'gavoa. Lachem v'lo l'gavoa. Amar lahem Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel say, well, not so fast. V'halo kvar ne'emar l'Hashem. Actually, gives you the pasuk v'chagosem oso chag l'Hashem, that you are supposed to bring the karbanos that are l'Hashem on the yontif. Kol de l'Hashem, all of the karbanos that you should be bringing, namely including the ola. Im kein, then the problem is, so then wait a second, so then ma talmud lomer l'Hashem. So then what did the pasuk intend to exclude by saying hu levado yeyas alechem? Lechem is a miyut. It can't be a miyut of a carbon if you're going to tell me there's another pasuk that says you do bring the carbon ola. The Gemara says, no, there are plenty of things that are being excluded. Lechem velo lekusim, lechem velo leklavim. This is an important halacha lemaisa, this din, that on yantif, if you have permission to make food, the ochel nefesh is mutter. And we even hold like Beisrael that even mitoch, that even if it's not pure ochel nefesh, it's other tzarchei hayom. But this exclusion says, but wait a minute, but not if it's lekusim or leklavim. You're not allowed to do malacha for your pets or for goyim. And that's why the Chazal put a prohibition in place that you're not allowed, this says what comes up later on, I think, in Beitza. You're not allowed to invite goyim to your yantif meal. Shabbos is mutter, but yantif is not allowed because it'll tempt you to be in violation of this exclusion of the rule that you're gonna do malacha on yantif for your guests. And if the guests are not Jews, so then you wouldn't be allowed to, and therefore that's a prohibition they put in place. Mar has all different version of what Beis Shem Beis Hillel had in Melchus.
It's interesting, it's the only place like I've ever heard that it's Yantif is more strict than Shabbos.
Yeah, go figure. It's a Chumrah of Yantif.
Is it Maksa something?
Well, that's true. In the first Sigya we learned there's another Chumrah of Yantif on Shabbos because people are more likely to be Mazalas than Yantif. So you had another example of that earlier on as well. At least according to some Tanayim. Okay, Turat Sabashal, Om Rebbe Lashon Aferes. Sabashal presented this whole back and forth between Beis Shem Beis Hillel a different way. Ma b'makom shekiras chastuma. That word is kirascha, that the Kal V'chomer is going to be the same thing. In other words, it's a Shabbos Tiyantif Kal V'chomer. Ma b'makom shekiras chastuma, kiras rabach psucha. That Beis Hillel are saying to Beis Shammai, look, if you're going to have a situation like on Shabbos where your kira is stuma, but kiras rabach psucha, What is a kira? Rashi says kira means like the lashon of Mishnah is about a kind of an oven. Tosas think that maybe it has to do more with a seuda. Vayechrelem kira gedola. So in any case, whatever it is, it's talking about that you have that your meals are not allowed to be prepared, but the karbanos can, namely Shabbos. It's going to be the same style argument. B'makom shekira sapsucha and adin shekiras rabach psucha. Isn't it obvious that if you're allowed to make your own meals because it's yantif, so then you should be allowed to make your meals for the mizbeach also? The chayin v'din. And that anyway makes sense. Shelo yeh shulchan cham malei v'shulchan rabach reikan. Anyway, doesn't that make sense? Why should you be entitled to and expected to enjoy your seudas yom tov, but the mizbeach not be entitled to get any of its korbanos? So that also seems to be kind of inappropriate. Anyway, that's the end of the discussion. And they don't have the whole back and forth about, but what do you do with the Dharma Nadavis, etc. The Gemara says, b'maikam afligi. What are these two versions of the exchange arguing about? Well, the two versions are obviously at odds about the question of whether or not the Dharma Nadavis are permitted to be brought. The first presentation of the debate agreed that you can't bring the Dharma Nadavis on Yantif. But in this version, there was no counter-argument about the Dharma Nadavis because presumably Beis Hillel permitted you to bring the Dharma Nadavis too because the Mizbeach should be malay. The Mizbeach should be open. Mar Savar, the Dharma Nadavis craven b'yantif, and Mar Savar ain't craven b'yantif, which means that even at this point, it's not even clear exactly what the parameters of the permission of bringing the Karbanos, as it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is very vague about bringing the Shlamim. What Shlamim? The Olos. Which Olos? So that's what the whole Gemara was presenting at the Machlokas HaTanaim about whether we're talking about only the Olas Chovas, only the Shalmi Chovas, or even the Nadavas, even the Arima Nadavas. So that even is the thing at odds over here, and these two versions of the debate between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, the Yamor Rav Huna says, you know, you should just know, L'divrei Ha'omer Nadarima Nadavas ain't Krim Yantif. If you maintain that Beis Hillel say that you're not allowed to bring the Dharma Nadavis on Yantif, then L'divrei Ha'omer, if that's what you hold that they hold, then Lo Tema Mida Oraisa Mechzechazu V'Rabbanan De Gazri B'Hu G'zei Reshem Yishah. Don't say that their prohibition against bringing Nedarim and Nedavos on Yontif was a Gzeira D'Rabbanan, what would have been the basis for such a Gzeira? Well, because, you know, we've seen this before, like a couple of times, about, let's say, Tevilas Kalim or something. Like, they forbade you from Tevilas Kalim on Yontif. Why? What could be wrong? Well, because one of the arguments is Shema Yisha. Because if you're going to be allowed to do it on Yontif, then that's a convenient time, and you're going to leave your Kalim Tmeim around the house, and it's going to make a Takala and all that. So the same kind of a concern might have applied over here to the Karbanis as well. And maybe that's why they banned you from bringing a Dharma to Davos on Yontif, so that you shouldn't wait too long to bring them. So Rav Luna is saying, that's not what's going on. The Dibri Omer in Dharma to Davos and Kriven B'Yontif, lo kemi de reis amex, echazer abonah de gazer, b'gzer shem yisha. It's not because of the gzer. Ela fila mi de oraisa nami lo chazu. They're saying that even the oraisa, you don't have permission to bring the Nedarim and Nedavos, and he's going to prove it from one simple case where there's no possibility of delay because the time of the korban is prescribed, and nevertheless, you don't have permission to bring it on Yontif. The Hashtei Alechem on Shavuos, in addition to the Kivsei Yetzeres, you have to bring Shtei Alechem, which means you have to have the Shtei Alechem baked, and according to this opinion, it had to have been baked before Shavuos. You had no permission to wait until Shavuos and bake the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. It has to be baked before Shavuos. The Shtei Alechem, the Chovas Ayom Ninu, the Lech Alemigzer Shem Yishev, the Ein Adochel, Lo Shabbos, Velo Yontif.
What about a case where it's the last Yontif and he's going to be over on not bringing in Dharma and Davos? It's the last day possible.
Yeah, I think you saw some of that already.
It's the last day possible.
Yeah, I think it had a lot to do with the last Sugi over there. Yeah, so and then under those conditions, maybe, yeah. Turats. We have a couple more lines. Let's say you hold, you're not allowed to bring the Dharma Nedavos on Yontif. What if Avar Vishachat? What if you violated that din? You got confused, you didn't realize. Okay, Mike, what would be the din? And the question being, how do you proceed? Now that you shefted the carbon, what do you do with this carbon of Beis HaMikdash that you didn't have permission to sheft? Well, what do you do now? So it says, Rava Amar Zorik Es Hadam. Almanas lahatir baser biachila. Rava says, go ahead and do zrikas hadam because you'll need to do zrikas hadam in order to be allowed to eat the meat. It won't be treif; you'll be allowed to eat it, and you only have a day or 2 days to eat it. But so you do the zrikas hadam. And Rava baravuna amar zorik hadam, even if you're not going to eat it. Almanas lahatir emurim liyarev. And Rabbi Bar Huna says, no, you could do the Zrikas Adam anyway because you want to do Haktaras Emurim La'arev. My Beinayu, they're both saying the same thing. Yeah, you do the Zrikas Adam afterwards. So why do they have to? What is there a difference in these justifications for the Zrikas Adam? Mar says, yeah, you could Beinayu Nitma Basar Osha Avat. No, maybe. What if? Let's say there no one's going to eat the meat anyway. Let's say they're going to have to burn the meat. They're not going to be allowed to eat the meat anyway because it's Nitma. Or Sha'avad. Okay, I don't know if you know what's going on based on English that they could have lost this meat anyway, but let's say they lost it, I don't know. Anyway, L'Rava lo Zarak. According to Rava, the only permission they had to do the Zrikas Hadam is that it's going to be for Ochel Nefesh, to be allowed to eat the meat. But if you're not going to anyway, so then don't do the Zrikas Hadam. Anyway, what's wrong with doing Zrikas Hadam? There isn't any malacha involved in Zrikas Hadam. The thing is that it's treated as a din, and you said the Rabbanan to do Zrikas Hadam, because it's like kind of a tikkun of the thing. I'm not sure what it's misakein. I guess it's misakein the haktaras emurim, I guess. In any case, that prohibition would have blocked you from doing the zrikas hadam, according to Rava, right? But according to Rava Bar Avuna, no. The Gemara says, well, hang on a second. Isn't it clear that Rava's right? The Rava Bar Avuna meisavei. Let's say your kivsei atzeres, like your karbanis of your kivsei shalmei atzeres, that you messed up. You messed them up either because you shefted them at the wrong time before Shavuos. I don't know. You were baking your shtei halachim and you also brought the kivsei atzeres. You shefted them anyway, or you shefted the kivsei atzeres shalo lishman. So that will semi-passel the korban. It won't make the korban treif, but it'll pass the korban in terms of that it won't count for the mitzvah. So the question is, well, can you? Well, what do you do at that point? That says, well, no problem. Yizrok. Do this rikas adam v'habasar yachel. Adam yizarek v'habasar yachel. But the problem is the next line. V'imhaisa Shabbos lo yizrok. But if it's Shabbos, when you're not going to be allowed to do anything with the meat, and it's a one-dayer, Kivsei Tzeres is a one-day, and so you're not going to be allowed to eat, you're not going to be eating the meat. So imhaisa Shabbos lo yizrok. Then you have no permission to do the zrika. V'imzarek. Hortzal menas lak tirei morim li'erev. If you did the zrika, okay, so then you can do the haktar seim lurim that night, not during the day, because of Shabbos. But in the evening, you'd be allowed to. So what do you see? Im zarek the avid in the chatkila lo. So you see that this, what is this? Braisa? Is Braisa? I don't know if it's Mishnah. Braisa says that in the Shabbos example, which should be parallel to our Yantif example for the Dharma Davis, which you had no permission to bring, if you shafted it already, that only if you did Zrika Saddam, but he wouldn't have permission to do Zrika Saddam, even though what's at stake is doing the Haktara Seymurin. And so, isn't that obvious that Braisa or Mishnah proves exactly like Rava against Rabbi Bar, against Rabbi Bar, Rav Huna? Gemara says, well, Bishlama le Rava Nicha, Ela le Rabbi Bar Huna Kasha. Gemara says, yeah, actually, that actually sounds pretty good. Kasha. That seems to be a pretty strong kasha. B-boy Sema, but alternatively, you can say, wait, not so fast. That was talking about Shabbos. But over here, we're talking about Yontif, doing this Rika Saddam on Yontif for a korban that you didn't have permission to bring. Maybe the Chazal had different attitudes about what to do in cases of whether to permit a Rika Saddam in a situation where it's Shabbos versus where it's Yontif. Maybe Shaini Shavus Shabbos, Me Shavus Yom Tov. She says, maybe Shech Mirchum Divrehem Meshabbos Yosemi V'Yontif. Okay.
Question.